Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, happy football Friday there, everybody. You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the man, John Lopez.
I heard the man.
Figgy Fig, Reginald Atatula here with you as we geared up for Texans Lions. You heard it as well. You will hear that broadcast 4:20 on Sunday. Sunday Night Football in front of the entirety of the nation. That reminds me, the last time you were on Sunday Night Football on that fateful Week 2 Sunday evening against the Bears, and there was a lot of excitement and there was a lot of energy. I remember getting to do the HEB tailgate or the game and getting out there and seeing all the fine folks grilling and excited, and there was just a lot of energy. And it feels a little different for this one, I'm not going to lie. So let us know. Various ways to get involved with the program. There's the YouTube. There is the Twitch. Both of those available to you. There's also the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Thanks to 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. The text line is 713-572-4610. What is your excitement level for this? Because honestly, it really does feel like there's a different level of expectation, but just a different level of juice going into what should be a huge and exciting game for these Texans teams.
Well, you know, there's different kinds of excitement. Obviously, it's the local team, it's the NFL, it's Sunday Night Football, you're going to be excited. But I feel like there's a different kind. Like that, you mentioned the Bears game. We're like, all right, let's see it happen. You know, let's see this team cook, so to speak. And now it's more like an apprehensive excitement, like all right, let's see how they do, you know, this sort of like apprehensive about it all. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited, but that in itself says something about where we are, you know, all together.
Yeah, maybe I'm just so in my head about this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a lot less excitement than kind of like nerves, right?
Yeah, apprehension, yeah.
There's almost an anxiety that exists within this, and I guess I've already kind of made it be known that I tend towards that anxiety anyways, but yeah, there is more of a consideration of what goes wrong in my brain than like the possibilities of what could go right in this one, and a lot of that, and it would make even more sense in my brain if that was more about the Detroit Lions coming in.
Yeah.
So much of it is about the Texans themselves and the ways in which we've been hearing a lot of the same messages on how to get, or them trying to get better, you know, just needing to be better, and that not coming through week after week right now.
I will say this is a feeling, and I'm sure our listeners can relate. 713-572-4610, and of course, as he mentioned, Twitch and YouTube. I'm entering this game like we did in the old days, maybe in the Bill O'Brien days, and certainly maybe even before that, where you're like, ooh, I'm watching it and I'm excited, but how are they going to screw this up? Are they?
Yeah, great. Yeah, I guess so, John.
Are they going to screw this up? You know, you're almost like you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, and I don't like that feeling at all. Because it's a familiar one with this team, and that's not what we expected, and that's not what we signed up for.
Yeah, we got people on the text line already weighing in. 713, keeping expectations low on this one. If I get too distracted late Sunday night, then I'm not sleeping, and that bleeds into screwing up my Monday.
Yeah,
and I wonder how much of that is just also the understanding that, again, this is another primetime game where you are not favored, and I don't know how, at least for me personally, I don't know how confident I am that they're going to put their best foot forward.
Right. Haven't we been here before, Figgy? Doesn't it feel like one of those good Bill O'Brien teams, in air quotes, where you're like, okay, this is good, but I'm kind of waiting for something bad to happen.
I'm not there yet, man. Yeah. I'm not there yet. It was an awful feeling, by the way, too. And then you had people, well, the team is 5-2.
Yeah.
Like, what are you guys complaining? But it's like, man, this ain't no good five. This is like that year when Pittsburgh was like 11-0. It's like, come on, man, don't sell me that this is the best team in the league.
They actually went 11-0 to start that season, and I, the whole time through the Pittsburgh Steelers, I was looking at them like, this isn't a good football team. But that's not quite how I feel about this Texas team. It's like a good football team is in here.
Yeah.
It's just not showing up.
It's in you.
And that's the weird part of this, because like I've really vocalized the kind of negative portions of this, but there is kind of a curiosity as to if this will be the week that they finally do it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm trying to find the balance there, because from the 832, they text in and say, y'all wild, I'm excited AF, right? Like, there are people that are still in that place of excitement, especially against a team that is going to give you one of the best challenges, if not the best challenge that you've seen thus far.
Yeah, and look, to be fair to that point, like, this is, I don't mean to sound like a coach speak here, but there is an opportunity here to completely change everything.
Right.
To completely change doubters, skeptics, whatever it may be.
I am doubter skeptic.
I mean, I'll raise my hand too, just because of what we've seen lately. So, like, it sounds trite, but there is an opportunity here. If they do dial it in and they do get it done, especially up front, I think we're all going to feel a lot different about this team, even with a narrow loss, if they look the part.
Yeah, 8-3-0. Texans aren't going to win no matter who plays. Sorry to say. Hopefully they can beat the Cowboys next week, but I wouldn't count on it. Oh, wow. Even the Cowboys game. And you start playing the schedule game looking forward. I kind of want to go here to D'Amico Ryan's Cut 13. With his availability on Wednesday, and, you know, this is kind of one of those questions that will pop up from time to time. How big do you view this Detroit Lions game as?
Yeah, I know no one wants to hear this, but for me, every week is a big game. Like, it doesn't change just because the Lions are coming in and whatever their record is, that doesn't change. Like, every week for me is a big game. Every game is important. This game isn't more important just because of the Lions and what they've done. They play good football. Of course, they credit to those guys. They're playing well. They're coached well. But it doesn't change our mindset, how we approach every week. Still the same every week. Every week, big game. And we're trying to go out and win this one.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that, and I don't think Texans fans do. Look, he's not wrong. Every game is big. We know that. We found that out last week, you know?
Yeah.
We found that out. He's not wrong. But some games just feel more important because of the things we're talking about right now. Because, they've made some changes. They've had a little bit of a layoff here, the mini-buy, so to speak. They know they're up against it, and it's time to show it. And so this game is more important, even though they're all big.
Well, I feel like for me, there are some things that I am excited to see or interested at the very least. As on the YouTube, Pal says, I'm excited. I don't go into any games anxious. I hate approaching games like that. Oh, I agree. I hate approaching the games like this, and yet still here I am feeling anxiety. And I hope that maybe some of these things will help. You have the return of a few players in this. Now, we've obviously focused and, you know, honed in on the idea that Nico Collins nor Will Anderson Jr. have practiced these first two available opportunities to do that during the course of this week when we talk about Wednesday and Thursday. They are not available, or they did not practice in either of those. Nico Collins has not been designated for return. Again, I'll say not designated for return. So, those, you know, it feels like those guys aren't going to play. However, I guess somewhat quietly, Azeez Alshire has been a limited participant in a couple of practices this week. Jimmy Ward has been part practicing. And the return of Jeff Okuda, who was indeed designated for return. I think those guys present an opportunity to see, like, this defense has slipped a little bit in the recent weeks. I wonder if, like, those end up being big charges to the defense. Jeff Okuda giving you a little bit of versatility when it comes to coverage options, especially as we've talked a lot about Jalen Petrie and just some of these instances that happen in man.
Yeah.
But Azeez and Jimmy Ward, not only are they good players, but they're also, like, leader guys. They're also guys that help other guys on the defense play in the right positions and play with the right energy. Like, I do wonder if that is going to be something that, I don't know, it has been somewhat underconsidered or maybe not even discussed.
Well, to me, I'll share more than anybody because of what you just said. Now, Jimmy Ward on the back end, you know, has some of the same traits and characteristics, but Al-Shaair, you know, what you have to do, again, boy, when did I become a coach? What you have to do against this team more than any other is make sure you tackle. Because you can't
Coach Lopez.
You can't have the yards.
You guys got to tackle.
You can't have the yards after contact.
Wrap them up.
And the Texans have had a bad, you know, you talk about they've slipped a little bit. That's what it's been. Yards after contact has been a little bit, not a little bit.
Can't be missing tackles.
You got to take them to the ground.
Finish the tackle.
Wrap up. But seriously, and that's what Al-Shaair can do. And you can't have these tackles 4, 5, 8 yards downfield or miss a tackle.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It's one of those things that's been discussed. D'Amico Ryans even has said that a few times this week. Is just like, hey, man, you got to tackle.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that they have it's felt like over the course of the season that they have like emphasized. It's one of those you know, mantras that is inherent with the swarm mentality.
Yeah.
And so if you were existing close to what D'Amico Ryans envisions for this team as the platonic ideal, tackling is there, and that you've seen that slip. And I do wonder if just having some of those guys on the field,
those two guys in particular,
helps as a jump start, helps as a catalyst to make sure that you are doing those things, which is absolutely necessary, not just in a vacuum, but particularly against a Lions team that has a couple of running backs that are great at breaking
tackles.
Well,
that's why I said it. Yeah, between Gibbs and Montgomery, that they've made a living on that. They've made a living on the yards after contact and avoiding tackles and all that stuff. So that's very important to have. And I'm also curious, you know, how they're going to use Okuda, because their other big blind spot, their other big weakness has been that slot receiver. And what does it mean for Jalen Petrie? What does it mean for the secondary? The cornerbacks? They activated him for a reason.
100%.
I mean, it's not just special teams, right?
No, I mean, you definitely need a depth when it comes to that cornerback position, for sure. And this is a guy that you could tell was in their plans. He has not been available for them. Mm-hmm. And so he gets the return. And not just am I interested to see, I want to see what their idea of best use for him
is. That's, I'm curious.
Yeah. Because clearly we can kind of come up with some ideas, but they have, in any opportunity they've had to talk about it, and it doesn't vary at all from the ways that they've discussed many other players on this team, but they have shown nothing but the utmost confidence in Jalen Petrie and his ability to execute all of the things that he has been tasked with doing, whether it's coming up and tackling or just straight up coverage. But some of that has also been out of necessity, as we acknowledged. I do wonder, once that necessity is broken, now you have an extra cornerback. Do they actually go with what has been our kind of a talking point of slide Lassiter inside to that slot from time to time and have Okuda on the outside? That will be a really interesting spot, especially because Amon-Ra St. Brown is that guy in the slot. And he is one of the better ones to do it. Yeah. J-Mo is more like the deep threat concern for me. Which,
that's where they suffer.
I mean, they've given up the most of those kind of deep threat explosives, especially into the touchdown range. Was it 19 touchdowns, big touchdowns in that way? Yeah, this secondary, they already have enough to consider when it comes to Jameson Williams. Amon-Ra St. Brown has made his name as a elite wide receiver, or a very good wide receiver, depending on if you want to get into that argument, in this league. And a lot of that happens from the slot kind of position.
Now, let me ask you this. We talk about, excitement level, and are you excited? How would you – let's refine it. Let's funnel it down a little bit to how you're watching this offensive line. Are you excited that maybe Jarrett Patterson, those 10 plays where he – it was their best drive of the game before he got injured. Are you excited to see what this offensive line, or is it more the apprehension thing like I've had?
Cautiously optimistic. Cautiously optimistic. And that is almost entirely because when Jarrett Patterson came in for a 10 play drive, you moved the ball. Like the floor was raised, and I've used this phrase work multiple times in talking about this. I think the offensive line, and maybe this is just where, how paltry the expectations have become for me personally. I think the offensive line simply needs to be not atrocious, not losing instantly.
That's not asking a lot, is it?
I would hope not. I sincerely would hope not from a team that came into the season with all the expectations of being a championship caliber team. Championship caliber teams aren't bad on the offensive line. They may not always be incredible on the offensive line, like a team that's coming in, right? Detroit Lions. But they're never terrible on the offensive line. And there have been many moments with this offensive line where you've seen them be terrible. Now, to give them credit, right, they do seem to have been, like, getting better in run blocking, right? D'Amico Ryans, there was a point in the season a few weeks back where D'Amico Ryans kind of pointed to that, alluded to that, and we were like, oh, I don't know. But it has looked better in run blocking. However, the pass blocking has been problematic, and it's been problematic in moments where there's been instant losses on the offensive line. If you get rid of some of those instant losses on the offensive line, I think you give C.J. Stroud an opportunity to sit in and find his receiver. I think you give Bobby Slowick an opportunity in a I don't know, a flat, you know, ground to then work on, hey, we can get the quick game or we can do all these things. Now, Bobby Slowick still has an, he still needs to show it, right? Like, there's still concerns about some of those things, but I think that ends up being like a ground to stand on for you to do some of the things that can mitigate the rest of the offensive line play. Now, and I think that Jarrett Patterson has the possibility of doing that.
Now, one thing I am excited for is this is a terrific Lions offensive line. I am excited, even though Will Anderson doesn't look like he's going to play. You know, you got DeNico Autry now with some games under his belt. Yeah, you got Danielle Hunter there. You've got they've been able to bring some pressure. I am excited to see how this front can maybe disrupt. Jared Goff.
Because I mean, if you can get to him.
And this is about as good a chance. I wish Will Anderson was here too, but I think you're still going to have a good chance there.
Okay, so excitement-wise, it's an interesting one because, like, I do think that there are some things that are interesting to watch. It just feels like you're going as a team that has not put your best foot forward thus far. You're going up against a team that is consistently putting their best foot forward right now. What was it in the last few or four games? They haven't scored fewer than 31. Was that what you had surmised yourself?
Yeah, they were in the 40s and 50s for three of those games.
So that's the thing that puts me in an interesting place, but apparently there are still some people that have some excitement, and I feel like there's a possibility for that excitement to be paid off, but the Texans absolutely have to put some things together. We're just getting going on a Football Friday in the Loop as we gear up for Texans, Lions, Sunday Night Football here at NRG Stadium in Houston. All right, coming up next, we heard from Chris Strasser, the offensive line coach. No, for real, we heard from the offensive line coach in the middle of the season. Did he inspire confidence? We'll talk about that next.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah. Happy Football Friday to you all. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 with John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula. Let's get ready. Let's get down for Texans versus the Lions. Sunday Night Football at NRG Stadium. Somebody asked on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, will the roof be open for Sunday Night Football?
That's a good question. I doubt it.
I doubt it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like it would be the right, like, temperature.
Right temperature, right environment, right type of game.
Can we be honest?
Doesn't happen.
I think they had it open last time because of that hole in the roof.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was the only reason they had it open.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them open unless they do it last minute or something.
And it's so weird because this started during the Gary Kubiak era. So way back, because he was just hell-bent on, no, I want perfect conditions. You know, like, as an offensive coordinator might say.
100%.
You know, and then it just never changed. Through Bill O'Brien, through Cully, through Lovey, through, you know, current, it just doesn't change. I don't get it.
I mean, yeah. You seem to get it a little bit—the idea of perfect conditions, but
but
it's like you got the opportunity to open up.
Exactly.
Why not?
Why have it then?
Yeah, just to be able to say you do.
I guess
there's a lot of people that have stuff just to be able to say that they have it. All right, with a lot of conversation that's happened, a lot has happened about this offensive line, and it's because they just have not lived up to the standard by any stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's gotten to a fever pitch, and you know that because Chris Strasser, the offensive line coach, whose name you know not for no good reasons, actually spoke to the media. And I kind of wanted to figure if we felt like we had any confidence instilled within us from listening to him. And so let's go through this. Let's have a little process. And we begin by hearing Chris Strasser and what he talks about with Kenyon Green.
Kenyon's done great. I mean, really, honestly, like, if we're looking at the big picture of where Kenyon was when I got here and the type of offseason he had, the type of training camp that he had, came out week one against the Colts, really playing on fire, did really well in the run game, didn't have the same pass protection opportunities that week one that maybe we did as the season went on. By no means is it one guy. That, to me, that's an easy out in our unit. We know there's a lot of guys involved. And, Kenyon, I really think of this really being his rookie season, right? That first year he was here, played some, got hurt. Last year he didn't play at all. This year, coming back off an injury and really getting back into the mix. And so I think he went through some, also this is his first time in our offense here, right? So he went through some, typical rookie struggles, but by no means is Kenyon the only guy.
Okay, so as I heard that, I did a complete eye roll, but he's done great. That's the first words out of your mouth.
And this is his rookie year.
Like his rookie year? No, it's not. It's really not. You're treating him different than you would other players,
I don't know. The way that we've seen things kind of discussed about this team, this is how they treat most of the players.
Well, that's fair.
Right?
But Manchi. Him, but especially to say that about him. So let me just say, as I heard him more, I became a little more... there was a little more clarity on what exactly was going on here. Because, if we're talking about he's great, he did this so well, it's really like his rookie year, that's an eye roll. I mean, by any standard, that's an eye roll.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you on that. Like, I do understand the idea of, hey, he has not had a lot of reps, and I do wonder if you get to a place where he is he's a first-round pick, and thus, hey, well, he hasn't had all that much time for a first-round pick. Yeah, you give him time to go, but like a first-round pick, you anticipate being a factor pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why you take them the first
exactly.
round, that they have a level of preparedness in addition to the traits and tools to be able to do this early on. And even if this was a rookie first-round pick, you would still be disappointed with what it looks like.
Right.
But I kind of want to juxtapose this kind of compare this to how he talks about Juice, because you said you wouldn't talk about this any other player like this. This is him talking about Juice Scruggs.
There's always going to be extra responsibility on the center, whether it's pass, run, whatever it is. And again, I think of this at center a little bit for Juice as his rookie year. He missed most of last year, 2/3 of it, and then came in and played guard. And so this is still some newness to him with it, but by no means does it fall on him. I mean, he's really has done a good job, and he's progressed each week.
Yeah, and so here we go. It sounds like excuse making, right? It sounds like we're just ramping up. It's going to get better. It's not the players. It's kind of the process and us, etc. And so when I heard those two, I'm like, come on, man. Like seriously,
if I ever have a bad day, I'm gonna just say, it's just my rookie year.
Yeah,
we still early on in this.
Hey, we still early on, man.
This is really like my first year in radio. Because it's the first time I've really worked with Reggie.
It's not wrong. No,
but it's very wrong.
I think with Juice, I think you can get to a place where you understand a little bit more with Juice. And I don't think he's wrong in saying that Juice has gotten better when it comes to some of these things. But this is the MO, not just for Strasser and the offensive line. This is how they talk about it. You mentioned it. I don't know if any people heard it really, Fig. You said Petrie. Say a similar kind of the way that they've talked about.
Yeah, Petrie. I'll give Mechie a little pass because he's going through a little something, but you still kind of get that this year. Like, oh, he's still getting back and all this other stuff. It's like, man, when do we let the leash off of him?
Exactly. When do we treat them like professional football players? that and you said it, you know, you said it, Reggie, like, if this was a number 15 overall pick, which it is in terms of Kenyon Green, you know, you have expectations no matter, you know, if there actually are a rookie and in a new offense, you have certain expectations.
Yeah. But and look, they spoke to, I mean, he spoke more to like just how they want to protect quarterback mm-hmm. and all these things. Like, they understand this is perfect, which, I mean, you have to say that because if you don't,
yeah,
we will lambast you for not acknowledging that. Right. I understand how this works. However, this is Strasser getting to maybe the heart of the issue, right? He was asked specifically about the idea of the issues with stunts, because those are the ones that have really made you look foolish, right? What's happened with the issues on stunts, Chris Strasser?
Stunts are always a challenge. I mean, there's a reason that defenses do stunt on third down, because there's some challenges with it. So to me, it all goes back to starting with just like being really good at one-on-one pass protection, because you get that done, and then the next step, the next phase is to be able to handle a stunt. And a lot of what goes into handling a stunt is the same stuff that goes into being a really good one-on-one protector. So, you know, there's a lot of little things that we know that as we really studied, we had that extra 3 days to really kind of go back and look at some stuff and really see some stuff that consists has shown up as issues and stuff. Again, like I said, that I need to go back and do a better job as a coach to get these guys locked into better and find a way to drill it better and make sure when we show up on Sunday that everybody's got complete confidence in what we're doing.
All right, so this is where I had my aha moment. I'm like, ooh. Oh, I get what's going on now.
Aha!
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 Yeah, I pointed like that and shook my finger, Figgy.
Aha!
Aha! This clearly is just the messaging that the organization is putting out there from the top down. It don't throw any players under the bus individually. Talk about technique. Talk about learning and still getting better and all this other stuff. But the reason is, I think they make themselves kind of look bad, but they're protecting their players. I think they know that they're going to have to make some changes. They know, but they still have a chance this year. You know, if things can turn around. So I think this is not so much. I don't know how much he believes any of it. Let me put it that way. I don't know how much he really believes. I mean, seriously, this guy has coached for 20 something, almost 30 years as an offensive line coach. He's coached, you know, with the Colts. He's coached, you know, obviously here. I think he's had 5 jobs in the last 11 years. Would take that however you will.
Yeah, but are we trying to pump him up here?
Yeah, it could be taken any way you want. But what I'm saying is he's been around.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe. He's like, you know, he's really a rookie. Come on. I think this is just messaging. It's like, we still have a shot. Let's not throw anybody under the bus. Let's try to rally these guys and get better.
It does make me wonder, though, like what the conversation is on the other side. Because I think It is in line and it is congruent with kind of the messaging that we've seen all the way up mm-hmm. D'Amico Ryans as well.
And Nick.
It's one of those things that we know and we believe about D'Amico Ryans that mm-hmm. in the public and when he's talking to the likes of us, that he's not going to kind of get on these players. But we also know conversations with Azeez Al-Shaair, conversations with other players that are familiar with D'Amico's get down. They'll let you know that he coaches him hard, mm-hmm. right? Like he goes and gets after him. I'm interested to see what it looks like for Chris Strasser, because he's here telling us that, you know, hey, man, stunts, it's the same as just blocking them up straight up. So if you can block them up straight up, then you can pick up stunts. And it's like, well, that all sounds like stuff. I mean, we're week 10, man.
Exactly.
Like, I understand you had the opportunity for kind of a self-scout, but you also had an opportunity for self-scout after 4 weeks when it was kind of not all the way in the right place. And, you know, with the extra 3 days, we looked at it and, you know, I can drill down on him. Like, how have we not gotten to this place
mm-hmm.
earlier with the amount of, I mean, CJ Stroud has been sacked over 30 times.
Yeah, exactly. So how are you saying, you know, consistently from Nick to D'Amico to Slowick and now Strasser, which, by the way, good job, Texans, getting Strasser available. You know,
I did appreciate that. That was very good.
A lot of teams wouldn't have done that. But throughout those four guys who are at the, you know, at the top of the organization, they all say variations of the same thing. That's on me. It's technique. We have to, you know, teach it better in practice so they can understand what we're wanting for. They're putting it on themselves, but I just find it impossible to believe. Like, not even skeptic, just impossible to believe that they don't know that the issue is, because it's not just Kenyon Green, is these players are not doing it. And maybe that's going to change, but it's too early for them to maybe, you know, start talking in that way.
So, I mean, did this inspire any confidence that these things get fixed, though? Because I understand, right? Like, there are certain things you kind of just have to say
mm-hmm.
in these circumstances. But with what is said, right, what we can work off of, did anything strike you as, okay, this feels like it's actionable to the point where we can believe that there will be shifts that make this go better?
You said it. It's week 10. It's week 10, man. I mean, you know, short answer, no. But more precisely, and this is kind of the positive part of it all, the worst part of the offensive line is not going to be playing on Sunday. And that's Kenyon Green. Maybe there's just a marginal improvement. A marginal improvement will go a long way.
I think so.
You know?
I think it would. I mean, when it comes to, like, pass block win rates, which, you know, that is, I believe, ESPN stat, just kind of generally, as the name says, like, give you the rating or the amount of times that you win in pass blocking. On this team, the tackles ranked 12th. The interior with guards and centers, 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of pressure. A lot of times we were losing on the interior, and that's not helping your quarterback out. And not to say that it was all on Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
He carried a lot of it. Shaq Mason holds a lot of this as well. Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
Right? Juice Scruggs holds a little bit of it himself as well. But I think with Kenyon Green, there was a lot of instantaneous losses, those types of things. If Jarrett Patterson can step in and just kind of.
Just marginal.
Stem
baby
the tide.
Steps.
If you can get yourself to a place where in pass blocking, you are, I mean, even close to average in that kind of play. You can give yourself an opportunity for you for this team to see C.J. Stroud, the, you know, extravagant, the incredible player, showing up again, because at this point, it has been so poor that you've seen a really good player in C.J. Stroud look pedestrian.
Yeah, and frankly, I do kind of feel for Chris Strosser, too. As much as I said early on, it was eye roll, and second, and then later, I was like, I know what they're doing. I do feel bad for him, because he's going to be the dude that probably catches the brunt of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously Nick and D'Amico, no way. Slowick, probably not. It's going to kind of fall on him.
Yeah. And from the 979, I thought they knew they needed to make changes last week, yet they made none. The only reason they did was because Kenyon Green got hurt. So to say that they know that they need to make changes, I don't think so. And that's a fair point, right? Mm-hmm. Like they've not made changes on that line unless they have been absolutely forced to. It's going to be incumbent on these guys to find the right technique.
Yeah.
Chris Strosser to teach the right technique, and for them to actually go out and do it. Your only hope is that Jarrett Patterson comes in and just ultimately gives you a better baseline of play than you previously had at Kenyon Green, and that the rest of the guys are somehow buoyed and bolstered by the idea of not having that or lesser play at left guard.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you can hope on that, but that is the hope that seems to exist for this offensive line to be better against the Lions on Sunday Night Football. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, C.J. Stroud yesterday was talking about how, or 2 days ago at this point, was talking about how he just needs to remember to have fun. How do you have fun at work? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Question of the day, inspired by the quarterback of your Houston Texans. How do you have fun at work? 713-572-4610 is the 5-hour energy fan line. C.J. Stroud, obviously, in a very mature guy and in a real considerate place, as there's a lot of things to consider with this team, especially even with his own personal play. He was asked, like, what do you need to work on for yourself in your game? And this is typically a question where you think that a player would answer some technical thing or something to that effect. This was the mentality, kind of the mature answer he gave.
I would say I just got to have more fun. You know, I got to realize, you know, like, God's put a great talent in me. And, you know, I'm not playing for anybody else. First and foremost, I'm playing for him. I'm playing for my family, then my teammates, you know, and I got to remember that. I got to remember, you know, my priorities. And, you know, like, I can be joyful while, you know, suffering as well. You know, so that's something that I plan to do, is just have more fun, you know, be joyful in those moments. Because, you know, when you're in these trials and tribulations, you know, it teaches things about yourself. And it teaches you to lean on him. And so that's what I plan to do, and just, you know, lean on his strength. And, you know, and he's never forsake me yet. So I plan, you know, to keep going and just have fun while doing it. You know, it's things I can get better fundamentally wise, for sure. You know, just getting the ball in my hand and things like that. But ultimately, I believe it's just having fun and being joyful while doing it.
Got to have fun at work, man. It keeps you from going crazy, right? So how do you have fun? What are some of the things you've done or do to have fun at work? I was thinking about this and actually, something funny happened today, but I have another answer too.
You want to share with the class?
I do.
Oh,
I'm just meandering around the hallway before the show. We have six stations here. yes. Technically, yeah.
Technically six
stations here. I'm walking by
four of them here.
Yeah, I'm walking by the Mega Studio, which is the Spanish language studio, and I look in there. I see Figgy participating in the Mega Morning Show. He's got his camera out. He's going, or he's barking. They're ringing their tambourines like they do. They have those noisemakers. They're talking in Spanish. And I'm like, what the hell is Figgy doing in there? Figgy, I got to ask, what the hell were you doing in there? You were on the morning show in Spanish.
Yeah. So
you don't know Spanish.
I will say that made my job fun. But I was over there by my desk, and Valentin came over there, and he was like, hey, you got a minute? Are you busy? I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm about to start the show in a minute. What's up? He like, we need you to kind of get hype with us for the game.
Ah, okay.
So I'm like, all right. So we did a little mic check, and then they did their thing. And, oh.
But you were like talking, and you didn't even know Spanish.
Yeah. So, yeah. I, first of all, I asked them, do I need to know or say anything in Spanish? They're like, no, you good. Just do your thing. And so they was talking in Spanish. The only thing I knew was Detroit Lions.
Okay.
That was the only thing I heard. And then I heard Cindy Barbano say my name. Figgy.
And you start barking. Like, hey. You were barking. I'm like, that's what's funny, and you know, tell us, text us 713-572-4610, Twitch and YouTube as well. Text us, like, things you do to keep it fun at work. I was like, what in the world is going on?
I actually posted it on my Twitter too, so you can check my Twitter out.
But at radio stations, groups like ours, you never know what you're gonna see. It's always there's always some fun going on. Remember the time I literally ran into Steven Tyler from Aerosmith?
Wait, what?
Like.
Oh, yeah. I think you did tell me.
So Steven Tyler came up to do some music and giveaways, and he had a little crowd there, you know, a little in the studio back here, and he was singing. But I went to the bathroom during a break, and the door opens, and I go, boom, bumped right into a dude. And I said, I looked up, and it was Steven Tyler. And like just, you know, automatically, like out of habit, I said, hey, what's up, Steven?
Wait, what?
I did. I literally say, hey, what's up, Steven? And he goes, hey. And then he walked right by me.
Hey, it's nothing funnier than literally bumping into a celebrity.
Literally bumped him.
I bumped into somebody. I guess he kind of celebrity. He played on a TV show called BMF. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so if you in the streets and all that stuff, you know this guy named Big Meech.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like a drug lord. Yeah, he was a drug lord and all that stuff. But he have a son named Meech.
Yeah.
And he acts in the show, BMF playing. He pretty much playing his dad.
Yeah.
But I was at a hotel working an event, and I was literally running around the corner. I literally ran into him.
Yeah.
And we say, excuse me, all that stuff, my bad. I'm like, was that Lil Meech? And then I ended up doing some Googles and searching his social media to see if he was in Houston.
Yeah.
Because he's not even from Houston, but he was in town that time. I'm like, I bumped into a drug lord's dad.
Say, what's up, Steven? What's up, Meech?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if you say Steven in that instance, but yeah. All right. Sounds like one of the things that you guys do for fun is just like, hey, man, talk to the other people at work or elsewhere around work. I know someone said that they check in with some people at the different branches. 832, talk to others and watch TV when possible. I do wonder what you do for work, because depending on what you do, that cannot be reckless. But I do wonder, like, how much that is for CJ, just tap in with the dudes that you really enjoy at work, like some of the guys in the locker room that you're just like, hey, man, being with these guys makes it fun, as opposed to just like for work, worrying about the actual work of it all. Who are the guys in the locker room that I just enjoy being around, and can that bring the fun back to what we're doing?
Yeah, I think another fun thing, kind of, I guess, be a little more relatable, like regular jobs and stuff like that. If you're working the shift and all that stuff and it's a little bit slow, order some food.
Yeah.
Order a pizza for everybody. I think that kind of put everybody in a good mood, too.
I do have like a regular workplace fun thing I do consistently, like always. Whenever we have an all-staff meeting, I play this little game in my head, like as I'm sitting there nodding my head, listening to, you know, to whomever.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be the ask too many questions guy?
Mm.
I'm like, is it going to be that guy? Is it going to be that girl? Is it going to be? And you'd be surprised. You can nail it. You can nail it. You know who the person is that asks far too many questions. And I'm like, okay, that's a little victory.
Yeah. It was one time I think we had a staff meeting, and this was wasn't even like the base of the meeting. It was just in passing. Like, oh, if you have any stock in Odyssey, you still have it.
Oh, I know what you're
saying. And man, we got into a deep conversation about stocks. I'm like, what in the world is going on?
Yeah.
I'm like, man, it was about two or three questions about stocks. Yeah. I'm like, we could move this on. You could pass this on the side.
Yeah.
All right, email stuff here. I don't know that CJ can use any of that. I don't know if we can turn that into advice for him. But I do want to circle back to how many things in life, inconveniences in life, get fixed with just a nap or some food, right? Because I do think the food is helpful here. You were talking about just like orders of pizza or something like that. Like that ends up making it work from 281 in a similar space. Happy hours and lunch days. Just go get you some alcohol involved.
Yeah.
There's definitely some jobs where you
it's in the right place for that.
It's 2 o'clock and they're like, you know what? Break out the jack. Here
I like,
go.
I like this one, and I know there's variations of this in other industries, but it's clearly someone in the construction industry says, I have my apprentice go to my truck and get a tool that doesn't exist.
Oh, you messing with the coworkers? Hey,
can you go get the blah, blah, blah? Sure. What the hell is this? See, that's what I'm talking about. How do you have fun at work?
how does CJ use that? Is CJ like sending JJ Taylor to go get something? Like, I don't know how does that
go to this restaurant and order this. Well, I send you the money.
It's about time for the turkey prank, the annual NFL turkey prank that gets somebody every year.
What's the turkey prank?
They do it at teams. They've been doing it for decades. They tell the rookies to go to a grocery store and pick up their free turkey. Because you know, and so inevitably we'll see it. We'll see some videos and some pictures and stuff. So the turkey, you know, let's say HEB, and Kalen Bullock says, "Yeah, I'm here for my free turkey," and somebody's videotaping it. Like, what free turkey?
Just being inappropriate enough via jokes or statements not to get fired. Okay, all right. Like
that's always a good one.
As long as you don't get fired. Like once you get to the place where it ends up being an issue, then it's an issue. A 713 office comic, keeping myself and my coworkers happy by telling funny jokes or stories regularly. Mm-hmm. That one definitely feels like something that the Texans can take. It does feel like they've gotten real serious, and I mean it's because it needs to be serious. But at the same time, I think the beauty of it and the real insight and maturity in the CJ Stroud answer is understanding that, hey man, it is a game and that, you know, you get too tense and you can't really make these things work.
Yeah.
So, I hope somebody in there is telling jokes and making it fun for them.
I have fun at work by writing the wrong address on customer packages and then I watch and wait as they say, wait, this isn't mine.
Oh, so pranks.
Yeah. And then I show them the printed tag, which actually has their address. Yeah, see?
Who's the prankster in this locker room?
In ours?
Yeah.
Or in the Texans?
Yes.
Yes. In all,
well, we know Lopez is the prankster. Yeah, with the pet rat.
Yeah. You leave a dead plastic rat for your wife one time and you're tagged for life.
That's right. Yeah. You should have thought about that before you did it.
Who is the prankster here and among the Texans? I wouldn't be surprised if Stephon Diggs was a big prankster. He seems to have that kind of.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that.
And here,
Yeah, I don't know. Like, my first thought was T-Mill, but I don't know if he actually is a prankster. He just gives me general prankster vibes, which I don't know if that's good or bad, to be completely honest.
It seems like everybody kind of serious over here. Like, we don't be doing all that.
Yeah,
we don't be doing all that.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Well, maybe somebody needs to take up the prankster role.
Mm-hmm.
Lopez?
Come on now.
What do you mean, come on now? You've clearly established yourself as being capable of doing that.
And I'm sure you're going to buy a pet or a fake rat and put it around here somewhere.
By the way, the end of that story is all clear. We got them all out.
Okay. The rats?
They got rats. And there was a possum, too. So we got everything sealed up.
All of that up in there?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's got rid of the rats. He released.
Burn the house down.
He released the possum at Buffalo Bayou. So the possum stayed alive. And we're all good.
Okay.
Yeah. Man, we would have burnt that house down, man. Like,
It would have just been the possum and rat house at that point. That's the house where the possums and the rats live.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what happened to those neighbors over there? Yeah, they just moved in.
So in case you were at all worried in all this time that you would, you know,
mm-hmm.
Lopez's house had been overrun by rats and an opossum.
Yeah.
That has been handled.
All good. All clear. And we got the all clear.
From the 979 on the text line, it definitely seems like T-Mill. Yeah, that was my thought. I don't know. We'll see. I'll have to ask him when he comes into work today. All right. Yeah. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get back to the football of it. Let's go around the NFL, talk a little bit about that Thursday night football game. Do you go for two? And also, a Texan has been named as a captain in Stephon Diggs' stead. We'll tell you who next.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.